morning I'm going to be talking about a national estimate of the cost of Parkinson's disease medications from 1999 through 2003. And just real briefly, I'm going to walk through the outline here. I'll go over the objectives of today's talk, as well as give just a brief introduction of why I chose to do this study, and give a little bit of background and significance of why it was important that I do it, as well as go through the methods and just run through the results, and then go over some conclusions and discussion, and I believe we're going to hold the questions until the end. So I have three objectives for this study. The first one was to describe the cost of medications at the national and regional level for patients with Parkinson's disease. The second one was to articulate payment sources and amounts for Parkinson's disease medications. And then the final one was to discuss how the demographic characteristics of Parkinson's disease relate to the cost of Parkinson's medications. Data on the economic burden of Parkinson's disease is limited, but it is considered to be one of the most expensive neurological disorders to treat. Approximately 500,000 to 1 million people have Parkinson's disease in the United States, with an additional 50,000 new cases being diagnosed each year. There is no cure for Parkinson's disease, so therefore the goal of pharmacotherapy is to control the signs and symptoms of Parkinson's disease. However, research is lacking on the multiple areas of pharmaceutical treatment and the variation in the management of the disease itself. There are five pharmaceutical treatments and categories of treatments for Parkinson's disease, and the primary goals of all of these treatments are protection from the destruction of and the degeneration process, as well as to rescue the dying neurons and to replace damaged pathways. So the reason this was significant, or at least I felt like it was significant, this is kind of a spin-off, an additional study that came off of my dissertation. In 1900, only 3 million people in the United States were over the age of 65. By the year 2000, 39 million were over the age of 65. And by the year 2030, population estimates are predicting that 39 people in the United States will be over the age of 65. And the reason this is important with Parkinson's disease is because, given the increasing prevalence of Parkinson's disease with advancing age, the number of persons actually developing Parkinson's disease will continue to increase dramatically over the next several decades. Between the years of 1990 and 2040, neurodegenerative diseases, our mortality is actually expected to increase in the United States by approximately 166%. While a variety of pharmacological options exist to reduce symptoms, no treatment exists to slow actually the progression of Parkinson's disease. So patients with Parkinson's disease require increasing amounts of care as the disease progresses, as well as an increasing amounts of assistance from informal or unpaid caregivers. And in the latter stages of the disease, Parkinson's patients actually require a lot of formal care. Previous studies that actually look at the cost of pharmacological treatments for Parkinson's disease are typically just comparing two different types of medications to see which one maybe has more cost utility for the patient, maybe increases their quality of life, or they may compare a couple of drugs to see which one's more cost effective. And additionally, the reason, again, for doing this study was that there weren't really any national cost estimates out there. Most studies tend to focus on a group or a random sample that can be gathered. There are several Parkinson's centers throughout the United States, so it's kind of limited out there on what existed. So with my dissertation for cost of illness, I looked at direct medical costs for patients as well as indirect costs. And what I found with direct medical costs, which do include include prescription drugs, I found that gender and regional differences do exist in the overall cost, and they are statistically significant. So the methods for this study, I used the Medical Expenditures Panel Survey that's available at the AHRQ, and I used the household component from 1999 to 2003. I used MEPS is actually, it's a population survey that includes civilian and non-institutionalized individuals. I used the SAS 9.13 to analyze the data. And the reason I used merging, because with Parkinson's disease and MEPS, the people that work with MEPS will tell you, you need to have approximately 100 people with a given condition in a given year. Otherwise, you need to merge multiple years of data to actually have an accurate sample. So what I did was I merged 5 years of data and came up with a pool weight. And that pool weight is the person's actual weight. Each year, the person is assigned a new patient weight. And to get the pool weight, you just take the number, you just add up all of the person's individual weights and then divide it by the number of years that you've merged together. And this is just a visual of the MAPS overlapping panel design. And the household component collects data through 5 in-person patient interviews that are conducted over a 2-year calendar period. And to gather data for the calendar year 2003, for example, data from panels 7 and 8 will be used. And panel 7, round 1, started in January of 2002 and then concluded in December 2003 with round 5. Data for panel 8, rounds 1, 2, and 3, were therefore collected beginning in January 2003 and concluded in December of 2003. And just to provide a visual of what I did to kind of merge the 5 years into one, I took the prescription medication files with a number of people reporting a Parkinson's disease medication for 1999 through 2003, and I merged them into one data file. And then this is where I created the pool weight variable that I used to analyze. This table shows a breakdown of the selected demographics for this study. There were an unweighted total of 233 patients with Parkinson's disease, and they had a pool weight of just over 524,000 patients. And this, after all 5 years of data were merged, the pool weight was created. And of the 233 people in this study, the majority were male and between the ages of 65 and 84, and most patients had at least a high school education. The greatest percentage of the patients were widowed, and the majority of them had an income of less than $20,000 a year. And the largest percentage of them resided in the South region of the United States. So the results at a national level, a weighted total of 2.6 million people reported having prescriptions filled for Parkinson's disease between 1999 and 2003, with just over 25 million prescriptions being filled for those patients. And the cost of these prescriptions were approximately $2 billion. Here you can see a breakdown out by the year and number of prescriptions and costs. And the greatest costs were reported in 1999 and 2003, with the most prescriptions being filled in 1999 and 2001. I just wanted to list out the payment sources, and if you have any questions about that, I have a description that was given out of MEPS for those. But the next slide is going to have the annual and 5-year amounts by the source that are captured by MEPS. So as you can see, not all of the sources were actually used. The sources that dropped off were workman's compensation, other insurance, state and local, other federal, and other public insurance. There weren't any costs there. And you can see that some of them actually didn't have in certain years. They weren't even used as a payment source for medication. But the majority of payments came from family, self-pay, or from private insurance. And this, I'm going to discuss the regional levels next, but I wanted to give you just a breakdown, and it's on the slides up here if you need to look at it, of what the regions are. And this is classified by the Bureau of Census is how the regions are broken down. The South had the highest 5-year five-year regional total for Parkinson's disease medications, with the Northeast reporting the lowest. And this is kind of similar with the research that I did previously with all direct medical costs. there was a statistical difference for overall direct medical costs between the South and the Northeast that was significant. And this is, again, I'm using the five-year pool weight total here, and there were no statistically significant differences when using a T-test between males and females, and also there were no significant differences between education level and Parkinson's disease. I broke them down by less than high school and high school or greater based on the fact that when I looked through my files, there were only like 10 people who reported actually having any kind of college education in my sample. So there really wasn't, I didn't consider some that enough to like actually just say, to put that in as a different category, so I collapsed them in with the high school. And again, this is the one-way ANOVAs that I use to test for significant differences between income level, marital status, region of residence, and age. And none of them were found to be statistically significant. I did actually think that I would possibly find an age difference because the variation of treatments for patients with Parkinson's disease between early and late stage Parkinson's disease does differ significantly. But again, it didn't come out that way when I did the one-way ANOVA. And then this is the regression model, and just for those of you who use MEPS, it's in SAS, you actually use something called PROC Survey Reg rather than a PROC GLM or something like that. But the overall model, again, didn't show any statistical significant differences between costs and demographic variables for patients with Parkinson's medications. So what we found were that there weren't any differences, but there were some interesting things as far as with the source of payments, with the majority of it being self-pay or private insurance. And I'm going to, because of the increasing prevalence with Parkinson's disease, I do plan on continuing just to, as new years of data become available from MEPS, to actually just extend that and just continue on with that, as well as I want to look at just insurance coverage and amounts of Parkinson's disease costs.